Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Coming to you live again from parts unknown. Hanging out with you here till 11 o'clock tonight. 404-741-0929. That's the phone line. That's also the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Don't forget to download the radio.com app. That's what you need to keep in touch with us anywhere on the go. Make sure that your smart device, your smart speakers, your Walkman, CD player, Laserdisc, Commodore 64, it's all got that radio.com app on it. Follow us on social media. You can find me at JMCH316. He is producing the show, still back in Midtown. He's not going remote anytime soon. At Jarvis D90, at Jarvis D90. So one of the things that we've learned over the last couple of days is the fact that the NCAA, obviously, and we knew this, but now we're getting a little bit clearer picture about the amount of money and things that are going to go to schools. The NCAA is going to be, obviously, slashing distribution to Division I schools by as much as $375 million. This story from our buddy Mark Schlabach from ESPN. The Board of Governors of the NCAA voted unanimously on Thursday to distribute $225 million to Division I schools in June, less than half of what had been previously budgeted following the cancellation of the basketball tournament and other winter and spring championships because of the coronavirus pandemic. NCAA planned to distribute almost $600 million with the first distribution scheduled for April. Says the NCAA said $50 million will come from its reserves. By the way, that's pretty good for a nonprofit organization, huh? That's got at least 50 million. I guarantee you that's not all 50 million. They got probably a lot more than that in their reserves. But anyway, and they also have a $270 million event cancellation insurance policy, which will be used to pay off a line of credit to cover the remaining distribution within 12 months. And, of course, they have expenses and things like that that will factor in to all of this as well. The guy, David, what's his name? Steve Berkowitz. David Berkowitz was the serial killer. Steve Berkowitz tweeted out that the NCAA is facing $475 million decrease in revenue for fiscal year 2020 because of coronavirus impacts. It said Moody's Investor Services estimates that. Decreased revenue means the NCAA spending in fiscal year 20, including direct distribution to D1 schools, is estimated to drop by $380 million to $668 million. For context, NCAA's direct distribution to D1 conferences in fiscal year 2019 was $611 million. So it's going to be a pretty significant amount of money. Now, does that mean schools are going out of business, collegiate athletic programs are going out of business? No. For a lot of programs, it will hurt, especially if you're not a football program. You know, we talked about, you know, if you're not Seton Hall and Creighton, you know, or I should say if you are Seton Hall, Creighton, you know, Villanova, schools that aren't necessarily great big-time money-making football programs or even have football programs to begin with, they're going to certainly feel more of the pinch because the bulk of their money is going to come from their NCAA tournament basketball money. And especially as they move along in the tournament and go further and further, that's some of the best basketball programs, you know, in the country that have a chance to make lots of money during this time, and it won't happen out there. Now there's also talk, you know, obviously that these budgets will be affected, you know, because we already don't have spring football. So revenues and monies and things like that seen by programs, you know. Look, if Georgia gets 75,000 people to come to Sanford Stadium, and even if they take money and donate it to different things and stuff like that, you know, there's concession monies and parking and things like that. There is money to be had on some of this stuff. And obviously there's no travel expense involved because everybody's already there on your home campus. It's not like you have to bring a team in or anything like that. Everybody's right there. It's just a scrimmage, okay? So your overhead, other than what you're paying the workers or the cost of materials and things like that, is minimal. You don't have all the buses and planes and trips and band and all that kind of expense because everybody's right there. Don't be surprised, though, that once we get back into football season, and I hate to say it this way because it is cynical to come up with something like this, but you know how these collegiate athletic programs work. You know how the NCAA works. I think that they are going to make some changes for fans and not in such a great way. And what I mean by that is I expect that there will be probably increases in some ticket prices. Maybe concessions takes a little bit. One of the things I do think that will happen is, and we've talked about this years and years and years ago when I was hosting about how these football programs find a way to squeeze more money out of their donors. You know, the example that we used was Texas A&M football. So they would take let's say a $300, $400 face value ticket, or they would take like the seats in a luxury box or something like that, okay? And you would pay the face value of what those tickets are, obviously. So let's say it's a $400 ticket, okay? But to purchase that ticket, you have to make a donation to the Texas A&M Scholarship Fund or Texas A&M Athletic Fund, okay? So first, you're doing a $6,000 donation, okay? Which I think like the way it works is like the first $4,000 you can write off on your taxes 100%. Anything after $4,000, it's like you can write off 80% on your taxes. So there's all kinds of tax loopholes that the rich guys can get into. I shouldn't say just the rich guys, but I mean that people can get into when you're talking about putting money into some of these funds and things like that. Okay? Is it a rigged game? Yeah, of course. Hello, it's collegiate athletics. It's all about the money. They lie to you every day. They look at your face and lie to you. It's about student athletes then. Okay, right. Yeah, that's what it is. Okay? So it's all a rigged game to squeeze as much money. So if you want that $400 ticket to go to Texas A&M football, it really costs you $6,400. Because you won't, you know, and that's not a PSL to buy that seat or whatever like that. It's you donate to this fund so that you can get the tax write-off, at least for part of it. Expect those kinds of things to go up. Because here's what we know. There are a lot of athletic programs that do have some money in reserve and can weather the storm. I don't know how many programs, though, could weather the storm of football not being around. That's why I don't believe for one second that they're going to try to delay the NCAA football. Look, spring football and money lost and things like that through that is one thing. Okay? And don't be surprised if they don't maybe offer right, you know, a few weeks before the season starts when kids are back practicing, if they don't come up with some kind of, hey, here's our, player day game, some kind of cockamamie title that will substitute for the spring game, and, hey, let's get you ready for regular season here. You can see what everybody looks like here as we get into fall camp and things like that, and still have 75,000 people. I'm not going to be surprised at all if there aren't some schools, especially like Alabama, you know, Georgia. I mean, some of the big football programs that don't have any spring football games that get lots of people to come. Now, listen, Wake Forest probably won't do it. There's probably no financial benefit for them to do it. But I wouldn't be surprised if some of the bigger schools do something like that to try to raise a little bit of revenue and get the fans excited. And give them a reason to get out there and want to be a part of it. Not that college football needs something to rally around, but still, if you can pull butts in seats and get some money out of it. But I do think you're going to, and these are probably things that schools are not going to tell you. You know, these are probably things that are not going to make headlines where the school's going to come out and say, hey, donations now to the Texas A&M Athletic Fund are going to go from $6,000 up to $7,500. I mean, think about it. Where else are they going to try to make up revenue? You really think that these collegiate athletic programs are going to just say, well, you know, coronavirus, we'll just take our lumps and losses and go from there? No, it's not how they're going to do it. And we've actually got tonight, as crazy as it sounds, we've got two What's Bugging Chuckery's tonight. We're going to do one at 8:40, and we're going to do one at 9:40 tonight. The one at 9:40 will tell you probably a better insight into what owners really think or how they offset costs and stuff. We'll get into that a little bit later. But my point is, does anybody really think that athletic programs in college are going to just suck up a bunch of losses like a sponge and say, oh, well, that gosh darn coronavirus got us this year? Of course not. They're going to find ways to create more revenue. Maybe it's a few bucks more on merchandise. You know, I don't think that they're going to jack way up ticket prices or things like that. I would say that they're probably, you know, expect maybe some increases. But some of those backdoor ways where they get to the big money donors, you know, and put money in. Now, they probably will freeze salaries, okay? But for most schools to start with, that's not where the bulk of the money comes from. You know, when Mark Richt is coaching at Georgia, Kirby Smart's coaching at Georgia, okay, he has a maximum salary that he can receive from the actual University of Georgia as set forth by the state, right? And I don't remember, it used to be like $500,000. Don't hold me to that number, but let's just use that number for craps and giggles, okay? I get one time from Mark Richt, it was $500,000 was what the top paid state employees could make, okay? So let's use that number, $500,000 is what Kirby gets. Well, of course, he gets more money from whatever, Nike or Under Armour, whatever deals that they've got worked out with apparel or boosters or whatever different funds that are set up that they come up with all this stuff at. So they're not going to take the hit. And I'm not sitting here going to cry poor for athletic departments across the United States. Now, I'm sure that they will do nothing that benefits the kids themselves. Can we all agree on that? That there won't be anything that's done to try to financially help any kids or anything like that through it? It'll be, well, you know, we just don't have the money. Well, we had to freeze coaches' salaries, okay? And so maybe they go to Under Armour for $100,000 more, but instead of that money going to coaches' salaries, that money goes to other funds. Or you'll have stadium projects that were probably in proposed works and things like that. Hey, we're going to upgrade our scoreboard here. Well, now that money freezes, and they still take the money that was put forth toward it, but now it's just to run the athletic department or whatever. So always be assured that there will be some kind of rigged game that goes along with it. But while the NCAA is not going to make payouts and things like that, nearly what they thought they were going to pay out, don't think that athletic programs are just going to sit back and just take it and say, oh, well, gosh, we'll just have to figure out another way to get some money for it all. Okay, when we get back, we will hear from Georgia Tech head coach Jeff Collins, who joined our morning show. Of course, a lot of excitement going around on Georgia Tech this year. I'm very much disappointed that Hugh Douglas and I won't be going to T-Day this year to see some spring football. I'll very much enjoy that in the atmosphere.
John Freaky?
Georgia Tech. Yeah, John Freaky, yes. So we will hear from the head coach of Georgia Tech, who was on the morning show, of Hugh Douglas and John Freaky. And we'll get his thoughts about how they're handling this. And we'll talk about this later tonight in our college football roundup about how coaches are handling all this. So that's all coming up next. It's John Chuckery hanging out with you here on a Thursday night, Sports Radio, Night Time of the Game, and on thatradio.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back to the John Chuckery Show, hanging out with you here on a Thursday night till 11 o'clock. Download that radio.com app. We keep reminding you that way you can catch us on the go on any of your smart devices and not miss anything. And it does have the cool new feature. You can listen back to anything in real time over the past 24 hours that's been on the radio station. And on the radio station this morning was the head coach of Georgia Tech football, Jeff Collins. I think a lot of excitement, a lot of, pardon the pun, buzz around this Georgia Tech program and what they are going to be this particular season, assuming that we do have football. And the guy started off with Hugh asking about how Coach has been dealing with this virus and what he's been doing with his time.
Well, so the what our strength coaches did in the offseason was absolutely amazing, and obviously what our players did. You know, as we go through last season and kind of just get a feel for how the season went, how we need to get better, you know, I set a goal for our team back in January that we need to average 10 pounds per man on our roster of gains. because we inherited the second smallest roster in the country. So we had to get bigger. And over the 3 months that we were together, you know, the O-line gained almost 20 pounds on average. Receivers were at like 16. Tight ends were at 18 pounds. So we made significant gains in size. Then for the strength gains, the roster that we inherited, we had three people in the organization that could bench press 225 over 20 times. One of those three was our 188-pound strength coach. Well, this year we came back, we had six that did that same weight for 30 times, and then now we had two, and now it's up to over half of our team can bench press 225 over 20 times. So significant gains in strength, significant gains in stride, and just the challenge is now that we're away from each other, how do we keep that going?
Jeff Collins, head coach of the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, joining John and Hugh this morning as we talk a little college football, and we'll get into some of the details of the team. But I'm curious broadly, Coach, you know, there are challenges that everybody faces, you know, from a professional standpoint, you know, in what we're going through. For you, I would imagine the college, and Hugh and I were talking about it a little bit earlier, especially Division I college coaches, when you're talking about 80, 90, 100 players to keep tabs of, how do you do that?
Yeah, so we've got it. We're blessed that we have a young, innovative, technologically savvy coaching staff. So we've already, the way we communicate with our guys already before this situation happened where we all had to disperse and isolate and all those kind of things, we were kind of already set up to be able to handle this very well. We've got constant communication with our guys, whether it be on group text messages by position, group text messages via off-season teams, group text messages with the captains of our 10 off-season teams. So there are so many different layers that we go through of communication. So really, a lot of it hasn't changed. It's just the only thing that's missing is the daily face-to-face that we get. But we're already predisposed to be able to handle this situation at a high level.
We're talking to Coach Jeff Collins, coach of the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, Coach, I have to ask you, since everybody's isolating right now, it sounds like you still got these guys working out. So what isolation workouts do you have these guys doing? Are they doing, like, push-ups and sit-ups in their rooms or whatever? What you got them over there doing, Coach?
Yeah, so what y'all got to do, y'all got to get on at Coach Collins' Twitter feed and just go through and just watch the workouts that we post. Luke Corral, our head strength coach, has gone viral a couple of times on social media for his creative workouts with his kids in the garage. Yesterday, I posted a Rocky IV style workout of our coaching staff at home in garages, doing crazy feats of strength. So get on that, check it out. And, the cool thing is, again, having a young, energetic staff, our head strength coach puts the workouts together for our players. He also sends them to the coaches, and invariably our coaching staff is up bright and early doing the workouts, taking some videos, sending it to our guys to hopefully motivate them, because none of it can be mandatory, and we don't make it mandatory. Mm-hmm. But we motivate, we inspire, we let the guys know we're in it together, and we're willing to do the work as well. I've been up since 4:40 working out, getting it in, sent some pictures to the guys of the 10 off-season, 10 captains, just to motivate them and inspire them and let them know we're all in this thing together.
We're talking with Georgia Tech head coach Jeff Collins live on the WadeFord.com hotline. Coach, let's talk a little bit about your team. I said before the spring practice and going into the off-season that the transfer portal was going to be your friend. Now that the NCAA has cleared a couple of your guys to actually join the team and you got more transfers in, why don't you tell the fans about some of we can talk about your recruiting class, which was very good, but I would like you to focus a little bit on some of the transfer players, where you got them and how they fit into your team.
Sure. So we were able to sign the second best recruiting class in school history in February and in December. Eight of those guys are already on campus. Two quarterbacks that are really, really good. Both 6'4", both can sling it. One of them, Jeff Sims, was ranked one of the top five quarterbacks in America. So they're on campus already. We got four offensive linemen that are all 6'5" plus, 290 plus. So bigger people are now on the Georgia Tech football roster, and they were going ahead and starting to develop. We had two grad transfers signed with us. Ryan Johnson from Tennessee was a three-year starter there, is already on our campus, already working out, went through six spring practices with us. Devin Cochran was a three-year starter at Vandy, an Atlanta native. He's going to come to us once he graduates, and we're really excited about him. And then we had three transfers last year that the NCAA forced to sit out. Derek Allen, a Rivals 100 kid that went to Notre Dame and decided to come back home to Atlanta. Marquez Zezert, a Rivals 100 receiver that signed with Miami, decided to come back to Atlanta. And then we had Antonius Clayton, a five-star defensive end who I personally recruited and signed when I was the defense coordinator at Florida. He's already on our campus. He sat out last year. And so those guys are just itching and ready to make a big impact for us, along with signing a really, really good signing class, Jameer Gibbs out of Dalton High School, who I think is the best running back in the country. Excited for him to join us as well, along with the rest of the guys.
Jeff Collins, head coach, Georgia Tech, joining us on the WakeFord.com hotline. Yeah, it sounds like
four 6 foot five defensive linemen, 6 foot five plus, one of them 6'6", defensive linemen, just because we got to get more length and speed on this roster. And I think our signing class and the guys that we got from the portal will help that.
And Hugh, you were talking about the size difference, you know, about it being able to have, you know, bigger bodies, and how Georgia Tech needed to get bigger and stronger on the interior lines because of the change in offensive defensive philosophies with the new staff here. And it sounds like Georgia Tech is headed that way.
Yeah, no question about that, John. You know, me and John Chuckery had a chance to go to the Georgia Tech's, their spring game last year. And we saw how enthusiastic and excited the guys were on the sidelines. So, Coach, with all that being said, do you see now with the change of the program and what you're trying to implement here, do you see a lot of the alumni coming back trying to be a part of the program now?
Oh, absolutely. For whatever reason, there was a disconnect, and it happens with different generations of guys that come through every program in college football. But what I did intentionally was I hired on our coaching staff someone from almost every era of Georgia Tech football, especially over the last 20 years, to be on our coaching staff. And we were supposed to have Legends of the Flats Day this coming up Saturday. Obviously, that won't happen. We'll reschedule it for preseason camp. But Calvin Johnson, Daryl Smith, Bebe, Roman Reigns, all the big-time players from the past are now coming back. They're actively engaged with the team. Phillip Wheeler, I can just go on and on and on. Joe Burns, of guys that are now actively engaged around our building, getting to say hey to our players, feeling really, really connected to what we're doing here in Atlanta at a program that they helped build, and something they can take a lot of pride in. So that's one of the biggest things that, you know, we've let high school coaches come to every practice, the meetings. Obviously, there's about 100-plus recruits at every one of our practices that we had the first six times we were out. You guys have been around me. We're a very open, inclusive coaching staff. We want people around us. NFL scouts are open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year to our program in the film room, out on the practice field, because we want them to see how amazing the Georgia Tech, you know, football players are, and to be able to help them, you know, down the road in the future.
You know, we began this, Coach, by talking about your schedule opening against Clemson. You have Notre Dame at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. You have Georgia at the end of the year. It is a tough schedule, not to mention the ACC showdowns. But you're expecting a big leap in year two, I would imagine, and your ability not only to be competitive in games, but to win a few of these.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously the plan every single time. We're still, you know, it's no secret. It's one of the most historic transformations in college football over the last 40 years. You know, we're still in the beginning parts of it, but the mindset, the culture, those things, we're operating at a very, very high level. And now we just got to get the pieces in place to be able to be a really, really good football team. And I thought we were well on our way to being that. And now we just got to manage the current circumstances at a high level And whenever we're allowed to get our guys back together, make sure we maximize every single day so that we can be a really, really good football team that I believe we can be.
Coach, always great catching up with you, and do look forward to the fall and the return of college football. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Coach.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Have a good one.
Solomon Bowes Diamond text line. You can still keep in touch with us that way. Best way to always hear us, though, right now is on that radio.com app. We need you to download that on your particular smart device. You got a smartphone, a smart tablet, smart speakers, Sega Genesis, Commodore 64, PlayStation 2, Texas Instruments calculator, LaserDisc player, Blu-ray, I don't know, whatever you got for a device, your smart remote. Just download it on a device. That way you catch us on the go, and it's the most easiest, convenient way to always hear the radio station. Follow us on social media, station at 929 The Game. I'm at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. Do want to remind you about tomorrow night. We have a big shoe planned for tomorrow night. So the wonderful, very good reporter, anchor, talented, beautiful, great. Can I throw any more adjectives out there? Sophia Choi is going to join us tomorrow night from WSB, so she will be on the show. As Governor Kemp right now, I'm assuming he's still probably having his town hall discussion meeting that started at 8 o'clock tonight. I know all the networks were getting together to broadcast and feature this. So Sophia Choi will join us tomorrow, and we'll talk to her about what comes out of all of that. And also, very, very, very importantly, we've got the best wrestling announcer, I think, in history. And some people may disagree with that, but that's okay. He doesn't mind all of that. But we confirm Jim Ross, good old JR, will be on tomorrow night. His new book, Under the Black Hat, comes out on March 31st. So you can go on Amazon and pre-order that. I'm going to get the audiobook because I've heard he's doing impressions and it's very emotional. Talks about the death of his wife. His wife was killed in a car crash, I think like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, that his wife was killed in a car crash. Obviously, this book, too, will pick up kind of as the Attitude Era is really getting started. So in what is the most talked about, discussed era of wrestling history by far, which is amazing considering it was only about a five-year run that the Attitude Era had. But we will spend some time with Jim Ross tomorrow night. Extremely looking forward to this. Listen, I'm not going to lie. There'll probably be some fanboying tomorrow. You guys know how I feel about wrestling and how big of a fan I am. So getting a chance to talk to some of these guys and a WWE Hall of Famer who's still doing his thing on AEW, which I'm very much enjoying. I watched AEW last night from the Doubletree Hotel in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. My daughter was working on a school project and taking some tests, and I was watching Tony Schiavone, woo, doing AEW commentary because Jim wasn't there, Excalibur wasn't there, so some of the guys didn't get a chance to travel and be there, but Tony holding it down. So we will talk to good old JR coming up tomorrow night. Also, too, we're about to get into What's Bugging Chuckery, but want to let you know that we have two. You get double What's Bugging Chuckery tonight because I got two stories that aggravate me. So let's get it started with the first of our What's Bugging Chuckeries.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So Trevor Lawrence and his girlfriend, is it fair to say that maybe Trevor Lawrence is the face of college football going into this season? He's going to be the number one overall pick in the NFL. Like Andrew Luck when he was coming out, no question about it, no brainer. I think you could really make a case he's the face of college football, right? Not really a big stretch? Okay, so Lawrence and his girlfriend, Marissa Mowry, who's a soccer player at Anderson University, launched a GoFundMe page on Monday to help raise money for family relief and support for coronavirus victims. I'll repeat this. Help raise money for family relief and support for coronavirus victims. When Clemson learned about the page, their compliance department, what's the first thing they did? Have them deactivated and go to the almighty Oz that is the NCAA to make sure there's no inappropriateness, There's nothing about this that would be a violation. Now, look, Clemson, I understand. They're the number one team in the nation. He's the best player maybe in America. Yada, yada, yada. You don't want to lose Trevor Lawrence. But the fact that the NCAA and their rule book written in, oh, what, about the era of the Korean War, they have to get permission to do this. That's the ridiculous part. Now, of course, the NCAA issued a statement. They granted a waiver to allow for this to happen, okay? Because there's a policy, of course, which does not allow the name, image, and likeness of an NCAA athlete to do any kind of crowdfunding or anything like that. They can't use their image and likeness. And, of course, this is what's being fought in courts across the country. The NCAA issued a statement on Tuesday saying it would make an exception during the coronavirus outbreak for student athletes who want to raise money for help. Okay, first of all, before you pat the NCAA on the back, the fact that this has to be... Let me ask you a question. Has the NCAA said that all Trevor Lawrence jersey sales are going to coronavirus victims? Have they granted themselves a waiver saying, you know, for right now, we're not going to sell Trevor Lawrence jerseys on our website? Oh, I forgot. The hypocrisy has no bounds, right? So if the kid wants to do something good, let's take our Korean War written rule book that I'm sure probably in 1950-whatever had lots of pages dedicated to GoFundMe. See, this is where it's so ridiculous that athletes, look, what is there to not want to root for and like about Trevor Lawrence in a situation like this? And what's the story become? The story hasn't become Trevor Lawrence is trying to do good. The story that's on all of the ESPN, Sporting News, Sports Illustrated, the story is the NCAA had to step in and grant a waiver to allow Trevor Lawrence. That's the headline. It's not Trevor Lawrence is out doing good work for his community, being a role model and example for how you should act as the face of college football. It's, hey, the NCAA is going to grant a waiver to Trevor Lawrence to go raise money and do good. Yay, let's have a big coronavirus party for it. This is what makes the NCAA so ridiculous. Like, why does it have to come to the face of college football and they shut his thing down until a waiver's granted, and then a statement from the NCAA, then a statement for Clemson, instead of, hey, Trevor, that's a hell of a thing you're doing. Oh, yeah, you're the face of college football this season. That's a pretty good example. Now the story is the NCAA grants a waiver. They're allowing Trevor Lawrence. How about this? Make sure all the jersey sales that the NCAA sells off his name goes directly to helping that fund that he set up. Now, maybe I missed that story. Text me at 404-741-0929. Tweet me at JMCH316 because I'd love to be wrong about this. Let the NCAA step up and say, you know what? All the proceeds that we're selling jerseys for on our NCAA.com website are going right to that fund that Trevor Lawrence has got set up. I didn't see that in the story in the statement. Like I said, maybe I'm wrong, but should they have even had to have come out with a statement later on to do that? At the same time they were granting a waiver, okay, that should have been part of it too. And Lawrence went on his Instagram account and said, shout out to the NCAA. Thank you all so much for granting a waiver. They're allowing us to continue to raise money for what we're doing originally. I tell you what, he's a hell of a lot more diplomatic than I would have been. Screw the NCAA. This is what makes it ridiculous about the world of collegiate athletics. This is everything you want in the kid that's the face of the franchise. And the real story that gets talked about is, well, gee, the NCAA, like we should pat them on the back for this. Well, you know what? We'll allow it. But you know, once coronavirus is away, we're back to making money off your jersey name. Can you tell my disdain for the NCAA and everything. And look, what did we talk about when this stuff all started? You're canceling the basketball tournament. You're canceling sports. What the hell have you got to? They got the golf courses shut down. What the hell are you doing besides locking yourself in a room and redoing the whole damn book? By now, or in the next couple of weeks, we should have a new Bible with how you govern in 2021. Not addendums and paragraphs and semicolons and outlined formats. I'm talking about you write a whole new book from scratch. Get Simon and Schuster. They're putting out Jim Ross's book. They know how to handle putting out books. Let them print the book for you. Put a whole new set of things out there that have everything laid out in the 21st century. Not, let's add an addendum. I mean, think about it. The first thing Clemson saw when they saw this isn't, what a great thing for Trevor Lawrence. The first thing they saw is, oh, hell, we better get a hold of the NCAA. That's the first thing their compliance department did. See, that wasn't the first thought of Trevor Lawrence. The first thought of Trevor Lawrence was, hey, my girlfriend and I want to help people out and do good. Clemson and the NCAA first said, well, we got to sort this out. Oh, yeah, we gotta sort this out, yeah. Yeah, we got to make sure he gets a waiver. And their client and their compliance department immediately went and told him to shut it down and let's get a waiver. Doesn't that sound ridiculous? Doesn't the whole premise of that say make you scratch your head and say, what are we doing here? Like I said, I'll be the first guy to applaud the NCAA. I'll tell you what, I'll make you a deal. I'll buy a damn Trevor Lawrence jersey on NCAA.com if you tell me the story about where they're donating all the proceeds that they sell to his GoFundMe and that organization that's going to help people out. I'll damn sure spend my money. Hell, we're having a good time in the stock market. I'll damn sure take the money. I don't care. What's it cost? $80, $100 for a jersey? Fine. I'll buy the jersey if you tell me all the proceeds from NCAA.com are going right to helping those people. And you know what? I won't need to get a waiver or have the 92.9 The Game compliance department tweet out something that says, we support John Chuckery's decision to buy a jersey and we'll allow it. I'll just go on the damn website and buy the jersey and let the money go directly there. So please, tweet me, text me, give me the link of the story, because I'll gladly spend my money on it. Because here's what Trevor Lawrence was trying to do, the right thing in a crisis, and trying to help some folks out. But instead, we have to think about compliance. We have to get a waiver. Jeez, criminy. It's ridiculous. And that's what's bugging Chuckery. Was that good enough, Jarvis? Was that pretty straightforward, Jarvis, about, you know, that I didn't mix my words on that? Unbelievable. All right, when we get back, it will be time for our Falcon flyover. We're going to hear from a lot of different Falcons tonight. As Kirk Benkert's been talking, Laquan Treadwell met with the media. We got Alan Bailey contract news. So lots to get into in the Falcon flyover coming up tonight at the top of the hour. It is the John Chuckery Show. We're hanging out with you here on a Thursday night on Sports Radio 910 The Game and on your radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.